Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And this hour, a little bit about theology. We'll talk with Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, the most powerful Catholic press in cis-Jupiterian solar system. I'm going to see if Mark knows what that means. Our number, 888-318-7884, is the number. Lots of times, especially today, in today's world, we have it's kind of a complaint or an accusation or an accusatory complaint, however you want to put it, about Catholic faith, that it is too complex and intricate and has too much theology going on, too much arguing and maybe intellectualizing about the faith in a theological way, and that somehow that this might be a violation of the faith, of the primordial simplicity of the faith that Jesus taught. Does theology in fact do that, or is theology an assist to our faith? 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. If you are a Protestant person who, or maybe you may not even think of yourself as a Protestant person, but as a person who thinks of yourself as spiritual but not religious, that's a common one, or as a person who says, I love Jesus, but I don't have any place for religion. I don't believe that Jesus founded a religion. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884 if you are a person who deals with those kinds of questions and those kinds of challenges. 888-318-7884. Mark is also the author of The Seven Deadly Sins of Apologetics. Mark, are you familiar with the cis-Jupiterian solar system, or am I just talking to myself when I say that?
Familiar with the what solar system?
Cis-Jupiterian. That means the solar system that is within the orbit of Jupiter. So that's now how I am.
Yes.
I am categorizing.
Oh, Jupiterian.
Yes.
I see. Jupiterian.
Oh, did it sound like I was saying Stupiterian? I think some people.
It did. Actually, it sounded like that. I thought you were making a unkind comment about people who dismiss theology.
No. I was saying that usually I say that you are the president of the most important Catholic publisher in the known universe, or in this part of the galaxy, or this quadrant. But I decided to go with the cis-Jupiterian solar system this time, and I wanted to see if you knew what that meant, which just means within the orbit of Jupiter, which is where we live.
Got it.
In case you were wondering. I don't want to insult people who are averse to theology, but there is much made of this idea that all this theology stuff is more or less haggling over nonsense, and you just need the simple faith that Jesus taught.
Yep, that's true. That's true. That's all you need.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was the
end of show. End of show. Right there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We don't have to go on. I actually was under the impression that you might take an alternate point of view, having published many theological books yourself.
I see. Well, let me see if I can take a stab at it. How about that?
All right.
I mean, I do think it's worth grappling with the problem. And there is a certain kind of problem with respect to theology, because Jesus says all kinds of things which, at first glance, seem at odds with theology, and there are all kinds of things within even our theological tradition, our tradition of the church, that at first glance seem to be at odds with theology. For example, Jesus talked, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is praying. He praises the Father for revealing the hidden things not to the wise and the learned, but to children. Okay,
so right. I see.
Well, theologians, those are the wise and the learned people. And you'd think, well, if Jesus thought theology was such a great thing, he would have talked about how the Father had revealed himself to the wise and learned so that they could teach the children. But in point of fact, he says sort of the opposite. So we might think, oh, yes, well, the Catholic Church, we have this great, rich theological tradition, and that's surely the starting point, and it's kind of silly and absurd to think dismissing that, but there are things which require at least some explanation if we're going to take this idea of theology seriously. So that's what I would say out of the gate.
888-31.
What do you think of that?
I think that, I hadn't thought about that, about the idea of confounding the wise as an argument against theology. But mm-hmm. I can see how, and there is something about the faith, though. I guess the challenge for me is there is something about the faith that is, in fact, very, very simple. And that it seems to me there are people who do make things too complex.
Right. Well, and so what we're going to say, first, before we do anything else, and even before we take callers, let's just be clear what we mean by theology. Theology is faith-seeking understanding.
Okay.
So theology presupposes faith. People that talk about doing theology outside the context of faith aren't really talking about theology. They're talking about religious studies or religious ideas or doctrines of religion and all that. They're not talking about theology. Theology, properly understood, is the study of God or words about God or saying things about God, but not based on our own ideas. And we in the Catholic Church, we talk about revealed theology or sacred theology, meaning that what we believe and what we seek to understand is based on what God has revealed and our initial response of faith. So God has revealed certain things about himself and about us in relation to him, and our response to what God has revealed, we say that we call what God has revealed his word. And our response to that word when God speaks to us is to believe it, to receive it, to say yes to it. Okay, so there's revelation, there's faith, but theology isn't just faith. Theology is faith seeking understanding. So we're trying to understand what God has said to us. Why? Just so that we can found universities and write big books and impress people with our arcane knowledge? No, so that we can know God better, we can love God better, and we can help other people know God better and love God better. So that's the foundation. That's where we start from when it comes to theology.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH, the number. Mark Brumley, our guest. Does theology help or harm faith? Our question. Already callers lining up for you there. Are you ready to take a call, Mark?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Steve in Dallas, Texas. Steve is listening on 9:10 a.m. in Dallas. Steve, your question for Mark Brumley.
Hi, Steve. I'm sorry. Is it Tim?
It's Mark Brumley that's on now.
Oh, is this Tim Staples?
It is not. It's Mark Brumley is our guest this hour. But the topic is...
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Did you call to talk about theology?
Yeah, I think most people that go to a religious school get brainwashed. It doesn't matter what denomination. And you were talking about once saved, always saved. And you're right. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Hebrews to Revelation didn't guarantee salvation. You had to meet the requirements of a disciple. You had to qualify to enter into the kingdom. The Jews, 12, 13, and 14, strive to enter the straight gate. Sell what you have, follow me, unless you sell all that you own, you cannot be my disciple. He told that to the rich young ruler. But then you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says you're saved if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you'll see there's no water baptism in there, and there's no repentance as it's taught in the local churches, whether it's Pentecostal, Catholic, Baptist.
Okay, I see what where you're going on. Maybe we could tackle the first part of that, Mark, because the caller is just we're kind of mixing two things because he was addressing some of what Tim was addressing about baptism last hour. But maybe start with, at least with the statement that many people who go to religious schools are brainwashed.
Okay, well, sure. We have in Christianity, Christians appeal to the Bible. That all Christians, Catholics, Protestants, Orthodox, various kinds of Protestants, one thing we all have in common is our common commitment of faith to Jesus Christ and the belief that the Scripture is the Word of God. Okay, we have that in common. But among Christians, there are different interpretations of what Jesus taught and what the Bible says. Okay, so it's true that someone can go away to a school, or you don't even have to go to a school. You can go to a church, or you can belong to a Bible study group, or
you can study the Bible with your best friend, and you can do all those things in a way that doesn't respect the dignity of the intellect, you know? And that's where, you know, the caller was talking about being brainwashed. To be brainwashed is to allow someone to force you to believe something or to bring you to believe something contrary to the truth and contrary to what your intellect tells you. And that's always a danger. But, of course, you know, theology isn't that. And people who say, well, I don't take theology seriously because theology is brainwashing people about what to believe. Well, in a certain sense, that view of theology is itself a theological view and itself is subject to criticism. And you say, you say that, but you're just brainwashed into believing that theology isn't important. When I used to be an evangelical Christian, my very first early on was evangelical. Later on, I became a little bit more, I would say, balanced evangelical Christian. But early on, I was really a fundamentalist Christian, and I had a very anti-intellectual attitude. I didn't get that anti-intellectual attitude from the Bible. I claimed that I did. I claimed that what I believed about the Word of God came from the Word of God, but I didn't really get that attitude from the Bible. Where did I get that? I got that from preachers who were teaching me the Bible. So, we have to be careful when somebody says, well, you just believe that because you were brainwashed to believe that. Well, oftentimes people who are saying that themselves have not really studied Scripture, have not really studied theology in a serious way, and are themselves simply parroting what they've heard someone else tell them. So let's be careful about that.
888-318-7884, our number. Mark Brumley, president of Ignatius Press, is our guest. And we're talking about whether theology helps or harms faith. If you would like to make the case for a kind of simplified, basic faith that does not get caught up in a lot of intellectual disputation or investigation, you are welcome to call. That is very, very common today. We commonly have the person who says, I'm spiritual but not religious, meaning that religion complicates things, or the person who says, I just follow Jesus. I don't get involved in all of that religion stuff, that theology stuff. 888-318-7884, the number. However, we have to take a quick break, and we will come back and take your calls for Mark Brumley right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're waiting for your call.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at Magnificat.com.
New on EWTN Radio, The Church Alive.
This is St. Monica, who I think is one of those great role models for so many mothers today.
My mother passed on to eternal life 8 years ago on the Feast of St. Monica. And you know, what a powerful example for me, because I know she prayed me back to the Church.
The Church Alive with Brian Patrick, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petrie. Saturday at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Sometimes I almost think, I feel like people, there's a certain kind of way of approaching religious things as if they are inauthentic unless they are simple and easy to grasp. And they are authentic to the degree that they are very basic. We don't think that about engineering or science or government or law or anything like that. But for some reason, we do have that prejudice about faith, that it should be not a matter so much of the intellect, but merely of the heart. Does the theology, which is the study, the investigation of the revealed things, of the things of God, If you are of the view that that actually harms faith or gets in the way of living faith, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. And our guest is just the guy to talk to. He's the super smart, Mark Brumley from Ignatius Press, one of the most important Catholic publishers in cis-Jupiterian orbit. 888-318-7884 is the number. Cis has taken on a different meaning, though. Now, I mean, not different, but like... because like cis in the traditional sense is means within, or, you know, now people will say you're a cisgendered person. Have you heard this phrase, cisgendered?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
But we are cis-Jupiterian because we are within the orbit of Jupiter. So go ahead.
You're going to ask me something. Can I ask you something?
Okay, sure.
So how would you respond to what our Lord says, you know, in Luke chapter 10, where he says that he thanks the Father for revealing things to the little ones and not to the learned and the wise. It sounds like it's, you know, I mean, you said, yeah, we sometimes treat theology in this weird way or religion in this weird way. We don't treat physics. We don't treat history. We don't treat all these other subjects, which reminds me of something that Bishop Barron said, and he's talking about his niece, who was taking all these AP courses, you know, AP in literature, AP in science, AP in mathematics, and reading all these high-end books for the subject matter. He said, you know, if she read the same level of material in religion class that she's reading these other classes, she'd be reading St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologica, which is this massive theological work.
Right.
So Bishop Barron there is making the argument that, you know, we should be taking faith seriously, you know, might at least in some cases involve study at this very, very sophisticated level. So I'm just curious what you say about what our Lord said.
Well, okay, so I guess the way that I would say it is that there are certain things that are necessary, but they're not final. They're not the final end of the thing. And so it's necessary to receive the faith with like the docility of a child, in a way that a child receives knowledge from the parents trustingly and with the, you know, trusting in the love of the parent, that the parent doesn't lie to them or deceive them or lead them astray.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to say that it's necessary that you do that doesn't mean that that's all that you're ever going to do. That those are the things that set the prerequisites, set the beginning terms. If you don't listen to your parents about, you know, looking before you cross the street, you're not going to ever get to the next levels of life, or you might miss out on them. So it's necessary that you do it,
right.
But that doesn't mean there's no next levels to life, and that there's not, that you don't grow from there. It's like saying you have to be, you know, take a plant, and it has to be planted in the ground, you know, in order to grow. But the being planted in the ground sets the conditions for the possibilities of its growth. It doesn't say that that's all the plant will ever do.
That's a very good analogy. Of course, our Lord uses the image of a seed and it growing, and so on, the Word of God and bearing fruit and so on. It's interesting that our Lord uses the image of a child there. You know, he talks about children. Then he goes on, and the thing he says after that, he says, after having said, you know, he's thanking God for revealing things to the little ones rather than learned and wise. And he goes on to say, no one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal them. Now, I don't think this is just an arbitrary passage of Scripture thrown in there. There's a relationship between God revealing things to children, and I think you're right on the money when you talk about the docility of children, the trustingness of children, the receptivity, being willing to receive that children have. I think there's a relationship between that and what the Lord says about the Son and the Father. So no one knows the Son except the Father. So who is Jesus? We don't know. No one knows Jesus except the Father. Father knows Jesus. Jesus, as the Son, as the child, comes forth from the Father. All that the Son is and all that the Son has, all that Jesus is and all that he has, he gets from the Father. He receives it from the Father. So no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father. No one knows who God is except the Son, because the Son receives everything that is true of God. He is the Son, receives from the Father. So no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father. So in knowing Jesus, we come to know the Father. In knowing the Son, we come to know God the Father. And how is it that we...
Oops, we got a little... You dropped down on us there for just a quick second there, Mark. But you were saying that if no one knows the Father except the Son...
Right, no one knows the Father except the Son. And then the Son reveals the Father to people. And how do they come to know him? By that same kind of receptive faith, that childlike faith. But that's the first point. And the second point goes back to what you said, which is you start there. It's like a seed planted in the soil, but you know it's got to grow and be nourished. And this goes back to what the Lord says to Nicodemus. When Nicodemus, the Pharisee, comes to the Lord, and Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about being born again, being born from above, that spiritual regeneration that has to occur. So we have to become children through grace and faith, and begins in baptism, and then we need to mature. So St. Paul later on will say, you know, when I was a child, I understood as a child, but when I grew up, became a man, I put away childish things. The writer of the Hebrews says that we have to stop drinking child's milk and start eating meat. So, yes, we have to receive faith as a child, but then we need to grow in our faith, and that is where theology comes in. Theology can help us grow in faith by helping us understand the God we believe in better.
888-318-7884, the number. Mark Brumley, our guest. Up next is Hillary in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Hillary, your question for Mark.
Hey, well, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to speak in support of the idea that theology is important to this idea of lifetime conversion. I was baptized about 5 years ago in the Episcopal Church, and I had about 6 months of Sunday emotion that began to wear off. And I discovered that I just had to know more. I had to work on my own formation because I wasn't getting it at church. And so long story short, I started doing a lot of reading and listening to you guys. And now I'm in RCIA classes. So I think that intellectual formation is an extremely important pursuit of the truth that, if we're honest with ourselves, will lead us to Holy Mother Church.
Wow. Mark. Mark, your response to Hillary?
Well, first of all, Hillary, I'm glad to hear that you're in RCIA. Praise the Lord. And glad that you are exploring things and seeking things. That's very, very important. My experience is the same as yours. You know, I had lots of questions growing up. I eventually had a born-again Christian experience and commitment, and I was into a kind of very, what I would now characterize as a very narrow, limited kind of Christianity. And it really was through seeking and trying to go deeper and to know God better that I eventually came into the Catholic Church, and theology helped. Helped me do that. Helped me come to understand the Scripture better and its role in my own Christian life. So I thank God for what you're going through, and hang in there through RCIA.
So, but it's fascinating to me that there is the original faith in your life, Hillary, the breakthrough of faith. But that really that itself would have withered and died without some intellectual nourishment.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Because you have to have more than emotion to take it with you during the week. You know, you can be very happy and satisfied and feel good when you leave church on Sunday, but then what happens Monday morning? So for me, right, it's very important. And it, you know, the intellectual pursuit may not be important for everyone, and may not be even appropriate for everyone, but for me, it was essential.
What do you make of that, Mark, that it may not be appropriate for everyone?
Well, I think that everyone is called to try to understand faith better, but we're called proportionate to our abilities and our situation in life. So I don't think that, you know, someone who is living in poverty in, you know, Bolivia, who has limited opportunities and so on, is called to become a great theologian. But that person should be asking questions and trying to understand God better and in order to love God more.
Hillary, thanks very, very much for the call. 888-318-7884, our number, right back after this.
We're ready and waiting for your call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
I'm Father Vincent DeRosa.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, do you really know what your kids are doing online?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And our guest today is Mark Brumley. Mark is the president of Ignatius Press and the author of Seven Deadly Sins of Apologetics. And also just a fine speaker, a gentleman, and a great intellect. And we always love it when Mark is on. Also, because he'll talk with us about Star Trek and stuff like that. We don't, not everybody that comes on will do that. But today we're talking about theology, about the very idea of theology. There is a kind of anti-intellectualism directed at religion in many parts of our society. Many people who comment about religion online, even though they are very positive about God, and in many cases positive in their comments about Jesus, will see the kind of Catholic habit, particularly, I think, making a rigorous investigation of divine things as being kind of a beside the point and maybe even damaging to people's faith. If you have questions in that regard, if you'd like to ask about theology or its place in a healthy religious life, a healthy life of faith, 888-318-7884. Mark Brumley, before you ask me a question, I'm going to ask you a question, because it seems to me that a lot of times we get this kind of idea of Christianity expressed that really there's a corruption that enters into Christianity when it gets too involved with the Roman Empire, and there's and kind of simultaneous with that is this taking on of Greek philosophical language and Greek philosophical approaches when you start having words like triune God and transubstantiation and consubstantial with the Father and all these kind of, that somehow that getting mixed up with worldly politics with the Roman Empire and getting mixed up with Greek philosophy is somehow a betrayal of the Jewish faith of Jesus.
Right. And there's of course, there's something to that. It's true that there were some people among early Christianity who distorted the authentic faith of the church by mixing it in an inappropriate way with philosophies and ideas that came from other sources. So we have in the second century, so the period of time roughly from around the year 100 to 199, okay, the second century, we have the beginnings of an infiltration in the church by groups that were called Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic, okay? And these were people whose ideas came from different religious systems, different philosophical systems. They claimed to have special revelation from God, direct special knowledge. That's why we speak of Gnostics, gnosis is knowledge. And they tried to reinterpret Christianity in terms taken from these philosophical systems and different religious traditions. So it can happen, and it can be a problem. But the difficulty is, it's not like we have a choice between theology and no theology, simple faith and no theology, or theology and complex faith. Rather, our choices are between an authentic faith and a genuine theology, or a distortion of faith and a distorted theology. People are going to have ideas about God. They're going to have interpretations of the Bible. They're going to have beliefs about the role that Jesus plays. What does it mean to say that Jesus rose from the dead? What sense is Jesus our Savior? They're going to have all kinds of ideas about these questions. The issue is, are they going to have ideas that are rooted in Scripture and that make sense? Or are they going to have ideas that they get from somebody else who hasn't thought through these things, who's concocted sort of a half-baked understanding of the Bible or of theology, and these people have just come to accept that blindly? So that's really the issue, not whether we're going to have theology or not, but whether we're going to have good theology or we're going to have zany, half-baked, uncritical theology.
Again, 888-318-7884. Does theology help or harm faith? Our topic for today. Kathy in Springfield, Illinois is next. Kathy, your question for Mark Brumley.
Yes, hello. This goes back to, does theology help or harm our faith? I think it depends on who's teaching it to you. Back in college, I had to take a course, and I had faith. I was really strong in my faith, and through the way the course was taught, the teacher, he kind of took apart my faith, and I felt it just didn't make sense anymore. He did it to my mind, in my papers that I wrote, theses, and he would say something like, well, altruism and that, it's you're doing things to help yourself, and what is faith? You're being kind and good because you feel better. It's not, faith. What is he wanted proven? It was like so. It really, yeah. It's a shame that it wasn't taught by a better qualified person of the faith.
Mark,
right. Kathy, let me ask you a question. Do you feel as if if the teacher had been aiming to help you deepen your faith rather than question it or undermine it, do you think that the theological enterprise, the study of theology, would have been more useful or helpful to you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'll ask you this question, Kathy. I was going to ask it to Cy, but I'm not sure Cy is up to it.
So I might not be.
Let me ask you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Who do you think was the first Christian theologian, Kathy? Who would you say is the first Christian theologian?
Christian. Can I go back to Moses?
You can.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say she's free to give any answer she wants, but go ahead. How do you respond to that? Moses, the first Christian theologian.
Yeah, why would you say Moses? I'm just curious.
Because he was talked about a lot in the, for one thing, in the Bible.
I'm kind of with Kevin. Well, he's a lawgiver. He's an explainer of things. He does seem to.
He certainly would seem to qualify as, in some way, even if we're using the term perhaps loosely, in some way as a theologian, someone who spoke to God, who had received God's word, and then tried to explain and present and help people understand God. So, to some degree, we'd see Moses as a kind of a theologian. Now, I would wonder whether we want to use the word Christian, because it strikes me that he's anticipating, or he's a pre-Christian theologian. He's coming before Christ, and he's not, although he does say things that anticipate or point to Christ, it's sort of implied. It's not sort of spelled out. It's even kind of hidden and mysterious. So I probably wouldn't say Moses. Let me tell you who I think was the first Christian theologian. Right? I think Our Lady Mary was the first Christian theologian. You want to know why I think that?
I do.
Pardon me?
I do. I want to know why you think that.
Okay. I think that because when the angel Gabriel came to her and said, son, and his name would be Jesus, and he was going to be the Messiah, he was going to be the son, called the Son of the Most High, and so on. What is Mary's response? Her response to the angel is not just simply, okay, you say that, I'm a faithful Jewish girl, I'm going to believe what you say is true, no problem, moving right along. That's not her response.
No.
Her response is a question. How will this be since I have no relations with the man? In other words, she's saying, she's not doubting what she's told. She's not saying, I don't believe that's true, but she's asking a question. And to go back to Kathy's example of the fellow who's teaching theology and was trying to undermine her faith, I really think that we see in the first chapter of Luke two different approaches to theology. One is Zechariah. Zechariah was John the Baptist's father. He gets Gabriel visits him in the temple when he's offering sacrifice and says, your wife, who's been barren, is going to be the mother of the prophet who's going to anticipate, come before the Messiah. And what's Zechariah's response? Praise God, we've been barren all these years, he's going to do it. No, his response is to ask a question. That's interesting. He asks a question, and his question is more or less to the effect of, how can this happen because my wife's been barren all these years? How can it be that we're going to have a child? And so what does angel do? The girl says, well, what do you mean? God sent me to tell you this. You're not going to believe me? Well, and then he makes him speechless, unable to talk until John the Baptist comes on the scene after John the Baptist's birth. So Zechariah responds to the word of God spoken to him by an angel with just any kind of question. It's a question that proceeds from unbelief. Our Lady got the same visitation by the same angel, God's word spoken to her, and in fact what God says to her is even harder to believe because she's a virgin and she hasn't had relations with a man. And the angel says, it's not just the question of being barren, you're even a virgin. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. She also asks a question, but her question is faith seeking understanding. It proceeds from faith, willingness to believe what God has said. But she's trying to understand how what God has said to her through this angel Gabriel fits with what God has already revealed to her about her own calling in life and so on. So she's trying, she's grappling with, how does what you're saying, with, I don't, not that I don't believe it, I believe it, I believe it's true, but I want to understand better how what you're saying here fits with what God has already told me about himself. And we see in Mary then sort of the model, the paradigm for the theologian. The theologian is somebody who believes and asks questions to believe more deeply, to understand better. And why? So he can go out and write a book somewhere, or he can just simply teach a class, or he can become famous for being smart and brilliant and all that. No, faith-seeking understanding, if he understands God better, he can love God better, love God more deeply. He can help other people love God better, help other people love God more deeply.
Kathy, thank you very, very much for the call and for the very fine point and question that you gave us. 888-318-7884, our number. We're talking about whether theology is helpful to our faith or is a destroyer of faith. It is a damage faith to do theology, especially we'll say the way Catholics do it, since this is Catholic Answers Live. Mark Brumley is our guest. Mark is the president of Ignatius Press. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, there is still time. 888-318-7884. Yeah, I think we can get everybody in before the top of the hour. 888-318-7884. Right back with more with Mark Brumley on theology right after this.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete. The deal clincher is we found our way to our parish, and we met just an incredible pastor. We learned things that we'd never been taught. Wouldn't be the person that I am without the church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Mark Brumley, our guest this hour. Mark, the author of The Seven Deadly Sins of Apologetics and also the president of Ignatius Press. And Mark, okay, so we're discussing this kind of problem that contemporary people pose about this idea that the simplicity of the faith is offended by theology and in a certain way diminished by theology. Right. And stop being so fancy pants about all this and just follow Jesus and just do what he says and all that kind of thing. And I don't object to the point that if you just do what he says, you're going to be fine in a certain sense because he is a reliable guide to life. And I also don't object to the objection about theology in a certain sense as well, because I have to say, especially when it comes to issues of morality, contemporary issues of morality, you see a lot of otherwise very intelligent people and people who can be very helpful in explaining the faith as well, kind of arguing for moralities that are directly contradictory to what Jesus taught, especially in the sexual realm, because they've got a more complex theology than Jesus. And you want to, sometimes you want to go, hey, you're not even listening to him and you're explaining him. And so I have to say, I have some sympathy for the person who's like, just get back to basics.
You know, I do too. And, you know, as I said before, we quoted that passage from Luke where Jesus says, you know, God's revealed this to the children. So, yeah, there can be dangers. People, you know, St. Paul says that knowledge puffs up. He's talking about in the context of people who have sort of deeper theological knowledge. They know that idols aren't real and that the
you know, sacrifices, meat sacrifice to idols doesn't mean anything, and they can go ahead and eat. His concern is that there are other people who aren't as informed and knowledgeable about the situation, and they're going to be scandalized. They're going to think, yeah, these idols are real, and these sacrifices to idols are real, and if I'm eating the meat sacrifice to the idol, I'm somehow in communion with that God that that idol embodies. And if I see other Christians doing that, that must make it okay. And so Paul's concerned that people are going to be misled. Because they're going to see this guy over here with his great theological knowledge, he knows all about it, and they're going to say, oh, well, if brother so-and-so is doing that or father such-and-such is doing that, it must be okay.
Right.
So there's a lot to that point. But, of course, the solution is not to scandalize and then to help that weaker brother become a stronger brother.
Yeah.
By helping him move from consuming spiritual milk to consuming spiritual meat to help him mature. And theology isn't the only way that happens, but it's part of it. So that you help him come to understand what Paul understands and what Paul says. We know, we people who have a theological understanding here, we know that an idol is nothing, that that's just a statue, it's no real power, okay?
Right.
So we can know that. And if we know that, and we're doing, so as long as we're not acting in a way to scandalize or mislead other people, we're free to eat that meat. But we want to make sure that we're not scandalizing other people. So this is that's a classic example, that scripture, of the value of theology, but it's a humble theology. It's the kind of theology that Hanser's von Balthasar talked about when he talked about kneeling theology, that is to say, understanding more deeply what God has revealed in a prayerful spirit, not in a boastful, arrogant, I'm going to show you kind of spirit.
Yeah, and biblical theologians did a lot of damage over the last couple centuries, too. The ones who want to, like, for example, the feeding of the 5,000. I have heard all these theological explanations that just the point of these theological explanations is that no real miracle happened there, when clearly what the scripture is telling us is that a miracle happened there. And people find these theological kind of explanations clever and sometimes very appealing.
Right.
But again, that creates frustration that the theologians, they're not attending to first and then talking.
Right. So what I'm going to say about that is that's a bad theological explanation.
Okay.
It's a theological explanation, but it's a bad theological explanation. It either doesn't proceed from faith, because people are saying, well, they're questioning or doubting whether or not miracles happen, whether this miracle could have happened. So that's one point. Or if they don't question or doubt that miracles happen, they've glommed onto some other idea or some other concept that they're bringing to the Bible. They're not taking from the Bible, they're bringing it to the Bible. And that concept of bringing to the Bible is nullifying, as it were, what God is trying to say. So what's the solution to that? Is the solution, well, we just simply won't have theology? No, the solution is to have good theology, because nature abhors a vacuum. If you don't have good theology, what are you going to have? You have bad theology. It'll either be bad in the sense of some sophisticated person trying to convince you of something that's contrary to faith, or some unsophisticated person. We have plenty of people who engage in bad theology who are fundamentalist preachers who don't take into consideration the context of the scripture that they're reading, or the background or the language or any of these kinds of things. They're doing a kind of theology. It's just bad theology. We have to keep that in mind, too.
Jason in Fredericksburg, Texas, listening on 91.1 FM. You are up next. I'm sorry I kept you waiting there. Jason, your question for Mark.
Well, thank you for taking my call. You kind of touched on a couple of the things that I wanted to comment on, was that I had the personal experience of newly coming back to the church as a young adult, taking the scriptures from opening the Bible that I had been given at confirmation and reading the footnotes from the New American Bible, and it severely undercutting my faith in this kind of textual criticism and the historical critical method that they use for articles, what I thought were articles of faith, being undercut by theologians who seem to have, official sanction from the church. And I've seen it later in life. My dad was in formation as a deacon in Archdiocese of San Antonio. First year he was in formation, his textbooks were talking about how the divinity of Christ was something that was developed, not in the sense of authentic development, but something made whole cloth as an...
I know what you... Yeah, so this idea that, the divinity of Christ is not something that Christ himself taught. This was developed later. And so, yeah, you get into these...
Invented.
Right, right. That's what I mean. It's this kind of theology that... it just seems like it's not operating on faith to try to understand faith. It's creating a new faith or something.
That's right. And oftentimes you'll see that. And what people that do that kind of thing don't tell you is that there are theologians who are just as smart, just as competent, just as well informed as they are, who don't agree with them, but who actually agree with the church and the church's teaching. So they'll sometimes leave the impression that, well, this is what theologians say, and they're smart, and they know,
scripture,
and they've studied tradition, and all of this. You should listen to theologians. And what they're not telling you is that there are other theologians that say something different. So there are theologians who are faithful, who start from the faith of the church, and then try to go deeper and understand that faith more deeply, as opposed to theologians who sort of start with their own ideas, and then try to rework faith to fit in with their ideas. So these are two different approaches you have to be careful of. Now, I will say this. Theology can challenge. When I teach introductory theology classes, I always tell people, you should be challenged by this. You should find your faith challenged. Not challenged in the sense of a temptation to unbelief, but challenged to stretch, to grow, to try to understand God more deeply. And sometimes in that process, it can hurt a little bit. And I tell students, it should hurt a little bit because you're growing. It's just like when you're trying to go from, I used the example before, but I'll use it again. When you try to go from eating only milk or drinking only milk and you start to eat solid food, you got to form your teeth and you're going to chew things and you're going to bite your tongue from time to time. And you're going to have to chew and chew and chew. And you're going to, sometimes you don't chew things properly. You're going to get indigestion. And that's going to happen in the study of theology. But the great thing about it is, if you do it from faith and love, so that you can know God better and love Him more, then what's going to happen when you come out on the other end of it, it's not going to be about having a big head because you know more. It's going to be about having a deeper faith because you can believe more and you can share your faith more effectively with others. I often say that I talk about apologetics. Now, apologetics is kind of the use of theology. You say we evangelize and we proclaim the gospel, and in the process of doing that, people will ask questions. They'll have objections. They'll say, well, you say that Jesus is God. Well, how could Jesus be God? When Jesus died, who was running the universe? So they'll raise questions when you're presenting the gospel, and that's good. Apologetics comes along and tries to respond to those questions. Well, that apologetical response is really a kind of theology. It's a pretty certain use of theology, but it's really a kind of theology trying to help people answer questions, remove objections so that they can more readily believe, or if they already believe, to help them remove objections so they can believe more deeply.
Excuse me. Jason, thank you so much for the call. Mark, thanks very much for being with us today. People can find out all about Ignatius Press and get Ignatius books at ignatiuspress.com, correct?
Yep, and I would encourage people to get a book by Frank Shee called Theology for Beginners. Theology for Beginners.
Yes, it's one of those. Yes, that one. That get your feet on the ground a little bit. Mark, thanks very much. It's always a great pleasure to have you with us. Sorry we had a couple technical difficulties today, but it's always great to be with you. And Happy New Year. And Merry Christmas.
And
we'll see you all tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.